Ernest Distook is the former congressman from Oklahoma who's now at the very influential Heritage Foundation. All right, Mr. Distook, did you hear anything in the latest in the apparently endless series of speeches by President Obama that surprised you, or anything that you think really changes the prospects regarding government meddling with health care?
You know, the target audience for the president was his own people. He wanted to stop the hemorrhaging, the desertions of members of the Democrat Party by making them think that there was light at the end of the tunnel and therefore they should hold off on making any further announcements that they would not support the president's plan. That was really his objective, to freeze in place the members of his own political party. And, you know, based on what I've heard from them afterwards, I think the president has gotten himself a reprieve with the only ones, this may sound cynical, but he got himself a reprieve with the only ones whose opinions matter right now, those that have a vote in the U.S. Congress. So no matter how much uproar there is from the public itself, we're in a position, because elections are still long away, we're in a position that the only thing that matters is the opinion of the 535 people that make up the House and the Senate.
Do you think any substantial number of those men and women learned anything from their long recess to go back home, meet with the voters, and in many cases get their butts chewed out?
They learn to keep looking behind them because something might be gaining on them. But believe me, there.
Thank you, Satchel Paige.
That's exactly right. You recognize it. Actually, he said, "Don't look back, because something might be gaining on you."
Yeah.
But I think that. Of course, you got to remember, Congress is a political institution, and right now the elections next year are still, 14 months away? That is a lifetime in politics. The Obama administration is basically telling them, we've got your back. We've got tons of resources. Let us get through getting this legislation through for the good of the party, for the good of liberalism, for the good of those who believe in big government. And then when it's over, believe me, we will be there for you. We will have your back in that process. That's what's going on. Right now, they want to keep Congress in session here in Washington, D.C., away from the angry and upset and well-informed constituents back home. So now they're planning to have the congressional session go until Christmas. Maybe there'll be a week's break around Columbus Day, but when they are here, they are pummeled by members of their own party. They're pummeled by lobbyists, by the administration's people, and, of course, by the uber-liberal leadership in the U.S. Congress. So the challenge is, right now, they're hearing from their liberal leadership, and that tends to, you know, make it more difficult to listen to the folks back home whom you ought to be listening to.
Democrats like to believe, Strother Martin in Cool Hand Luke, what we have is a failure to communicate. Is that fantasy enough to inspire them to go ahead and for example, force a plan through the U.S. Senate on that tricky procedure that would let them pass it with only 50 votes instead of the usual 60? They'll try that?
They are definitely setting the stage for that, because they'll say, we didn't really want to do it, but the Republicans, being such obstructionists, forced us into it. Not our fault. Blame them, not us. We're the victims here. Just like President Obama continuously advertises this claim that he's the victim of people telling lies about what he really wants to do. So, take that possibility seriously. I know there may be some people that poo-poo and say, oh, they wouldn't do something like that because the political consequences would be too great. Remember, those political consequences, as I said, are still 14 months away. That's when the elections are next year. And you know that the left is going to open up its wallets, loosen the purse strings to everybody that helps with them. I mean, you can kind of see the power, the funding power. They claim that conservatives are well funded. Look at what liberals have. Look at how much money after this outburst that Congressman Joe Wilson made on the House floor. Mm-hmm. His opponent is saying, I think I saw the figure now, they're claiming that in the 48 hours since then, he's raised an extra over $700,000. There are that many rich people on the left that are willing to spend whatever it takes to reward the people that will stick with them and vote against the best interest of their constituents, and frankly what I believe is the best interest of the country, and pass this bill that puts the government so much more in charge of health care than it ever has been before.
Since you raised the subject of the congressman from South Carolina who just shouted, "You lie," at Obama, who was lying, by the way, take a minute to talk about how the dear leader and his Democrats have and continue to dance around the issue of free health care for illegal aliens.
There's a difference always between what the law says and whether or not it's enforced. If we actually enforce the law, if we didn't have all these sanctuaries, for example, for illegal aliens, if they were really turned in when they applied for public benefits, then we would not have as many people that stay here illegally and that consume the resources of the taxpayers of America. The problem is this. Yes, they put a provision in the House bill that says nobody except people who are here in the U.S. legally can get the new subsidies under this bill. You notice that's a very limited thing. It doesn't talk about current benefits that people are able to receive. It just says, of the new benefits created in this subcategory of the bill, illegal aliens are not eligible for them. Well, that sounds good on the face of it, and anyone that says, oh, we have a provision in the bill to address that is being accurate. However, the next question you've got to say is, are you going to enforce that? Where are the provisions where you check the identity and the citizenship of people that do it? Where, for that matter, are the provisions where if somebody applies for public services now and it turns out they're here illegally, that's a signal they're turned in to the immigration authorities? There is no enforcement, and they rejected all the proposed amendments trying to create enforcement of a provision like that. So it's like somebody that's giving lip service to obeying the law even while they're violating it. And that's where the truth lies. So, you know, people can say, well, Obama was technically correct then. Well, he was still being misleading. Doesn't change the fact that if you want to take the high ground in these debates and win over the public, you cannot come across as rude in this. I realize you've got a constitutional right to be rude, but if you want to sway public opinion, you cannot let yourself make an outburst such as, unfortunately, Congressman Wilson did.
If there's one thing I know for sure about the bureaucrat mentality, people who work in the field of giving away government freebies, number one, they refer to freeloaders as clients. And number two, they know that if that number of clients diminishes, their jobs might become redundant. Who needs a bureaucrat to hand out money or freebie benefits if there's nobody to receive them? So it is in their interest to make sure there is an endless flow of freeloaders. You see anything wrong with that theory?
Well, unfortunately, that is what happens. People that basically say, my job is to give away government money and resources just as fast as I can. It's kind of like those who measure the success of cash for clunkers by whether or not people were willing to accept things that you gave to them. Well, that's not a measure of success. Actually, we ought to be measuring public assistance by how many people don't need it rather than how many people need it and seek it out. But you're exactly right, Lee. I don't want to say captured by the enemy, because people that are in unfortunate circumstances certainly are not the enemy. But it's not in keeping with the spirit of self-reliance and developing self-responsibility that needs to be at the heart of every public assistance program.
I suspect that most Democrats know that a huge majority of Americans do not want illegal aliens freeloading off the taxpayers. So what is their incentive to try to sneak it through? Is this part of a long and continuing campaign to simply devalue American citizenship?
Well, you've got to remember that they believe themselves to be smarter and to be morally superior to us. They believe that showing compassion to someone consists of giving things to them, even if it does undercut self-responsibility and creates dependency. But they see it as a moral obligation, which is kind of interesting, because I try to treat my moral obligations as something that I satisfy with my own money, my own time, my own resources. They say that the moral obligation requires them to take from the rest of us to give to this group of people. That does not create a sense of charity. That creates a sense of resentment.
If a bill does get passed with such big loopholes that illegal aliens can freeload on the American taxpayers even more than they already do. And by the way, before anybody waves the banner of racism, my wife is half Mexican, so just,
okay.
I don't want that on the record. But
sure.
Anyway, if they pass a bill with all of these loopholes and everything, isn't that just a gilded invitation for anybody in Mexico who wants free medical care to just head north?
Well, anywhere in Mexico, and frankly from points farther south, yeah, that use Mexico as just a place they pass through on their way to the United States, sure. My grandparents were immigrants to the United States. They came here because it was a land of opportunity. Too many people come here today because it's the land of the free lunch. But there's nothing free. Let me return to the basic topic of this healthcare legislation. And we still don't have the details of what President Obama said. All we have is some promises that he claims basically you can get something for nothing, that you can have all these wonderful benefits that he describes, and he claims that you can do it without making the deficit worse. Well, here's what we ought to be doing. Anybody that says, oh, we're going to save money through passing this legislation, say, fine, then you require that the savings have to be accomplished, achieved, and banked before you can actually spend them. You cannot use deficit spending. You can only use savings from the cuts that you claim you're going to make elsewhere, but those savings have to be real. Right now, what Washington does is they theorize that this program will ultimately generate so many savings, and then they treat it as though the savings have already been accomplished and spend the money before it ever comes in. That's kind of like you telling your wife or anybody else, honey, I've got a great business idea. It's going to make us a ton of money, and so let's go ahead and start spending that money now. And, of course, then the income never materializes, but the expenses put you into bankruptcy. That's what's happening, only on an enormous national scale.
Just for the record, by the way, when your immigrant ancestors arrived here, some of my ancestors were here to greet them. My children.
Well, I have some on the other side of my family tree in that category, too. Yeah.
My Cherokee grandfather used to say that the biggest mistake his tribe made was not tightening up on their immigration policy.
Right.
We'll be right back with Ernest Istook, former congressman, now at the Heritage Foundation. It's Hot Talk 560 KSFO. 24 minutes after 8, what's going on the roads, OV?
Well, here, this is brought to you by your Bay Area BMW Centers, and it's a Sig Alert Benicia area, 780 eastbound the ramp to 680 southbound. That's the stalled big rig missing a wheel. And you traveling on eastbound 780, you're backed up to East 5th Street, which is about a mile's distance. An accident, Pleasanton, 580 westbound before El Charro Road. And we also have an accident, Cupertino, 280 northbound at 85. Bridge stuff. Let's see here. No major bridge stuff to tell you about right now. Well, that's good, you know. But Fridays are generally lighter than the other days of the week. Look out for that S curve on the Bay Bridge. Now you want to slow down to around 40 if you're not going that already. BMW Greener Day sales event is on now, so hurry in and lease a BMW 328i for only $329 a month. Visit your local BMW center today or go to BayAreaBMW.com/finance for details. Officer Vic. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
With former Congressman Ernest Istook at the Heritage Foundation, we're talking about people freeloading on government programs. You have held up food stamps, the food stamp program, as an example of how illegals aren't supposed to get freebies, but they do get them anyway. Take a minute to explain, if you would.
Well, Congress passed a law saying that people who apply for food stamps that are ineligible for them have to be turned in. This was during the Clinton administration. However, the Clinton administration put out an advisory to food stamp distributing agencies all across the country saying, okay, you have to turn people in if you know that they are here illegally. However, unless they have actually been adjudicated by a court to be here illegally, even if they tell you that they are here illegally, you don't really know that they're here illegally, and therefore you don't have to turn them in. I mean, it's just outrageous, and unfortunately, that advisory has never been repealed by the Bush administration that followed Mr. Clinton, and of course certainly not by the Obama administration. So the laws that require enforcement of provisions that prevent benefits for illegal alien are routinely neglected and ignored, and actually the federal government has been complicit in telling agencies this is how you can work around and evade the law.
Tell people where to find
that are just as astounding in their absurdity.
And we would expect more under an Obama health care plan. Tell people where to find Heritage on the web.
It's heritage.org. And if you want to find something that is specific to all the health care debate, there's a special website that Heritage put together, which is fixhealthcarepolicy.com. And believe me, you'll be kept up to date with all the developments through that website.
Mr. Istook, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the program.
You bet. Thank you, Lee.
It's Hot Talk 560 KSFO, 831. I'm worried, Beth, about Big Buck.
Yeah.
OV, yeah. Well, he's worked, 3 days this week?
Oh,
and the
yes.
Poor devil is so worn out, he's got to take next week off for vacation.
I'm just tuckered. I'm just tuckered out.
What kind of a deal do you have over there?
Man, it's just rough.
What kind
man?
Of pictures? Rupert Murdoch. That's the kind of deal he's got.
That's these days you have to have more than just pictures, pal. I'll tell you that. Pictures, audio, video, the whole nine yards, man.
3D.
If you're going to slam them, you got to slam them hard. That's it.
You got something on somebody. That's all I can say. Give us a quick update on the market, if you will.
All right. We have the Dow down 9 points at 96.18. NASDAQ off by one. The S&P up one. Investors are holding back. They don't want to make any big moves after a five-day rally. Many are still expecting a pullback in the market after the extended period of gains. Meanwhile, consumer sentiment rose in early September to the strongest in 3 months. And FedEx, whose delivery business is often seen as an indicator for the health of the economy, raised its first quarter earnings forecast. Stock in FedEx up almost 7%. And crude oil, $72.90 a barrel. Nope, correction on that. $71.19 a barrel, and that's down more than 1%. And interest rates continue to fall. The yield on the 10-year note, 3.292%. Once again, the blue chips down 12, NASDAQ down 1, S&P up a tad. I'm Buck McQuillan at the Wall Street Journal on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're waking up with Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Some more news here with the 8th anniversary of 9/11. Questions persist about whether those attacks could have been prevented. Eli Assad, one of the FBI's top undercover operatives for the last 13 years, tells ABC News the agency had the 9/11 ringleader in its sights, but shifted focus to an easier case. Here's ABC News chief investigative correspondent Brian Ross.
In early 2001, the FBI sent Assad to infiltrate small mosque outside Miami. There, he says, he spotted and even recorded conversations with the man later identified as 9/11 hijack leader Mohammed Atta, as well as several others in his group.
You saw them?
Yes, and even I prayed in the mosque, the private mosque, and I went to certain private meetings.
But Assad says over his objections, the FBI told him to leave Atta alone and instead to set up and sting two men that he calls wannabe terrorists.
Doesn't look good. We'll wait to hear more on this. The nation's military leaders may ask President Obama for more U.S. troops for Afghanistan, but lawmakers are wary of that prospect. Pam Coulter in Washington with more.
Violence and insurgent attacks have increased in Afghanistan as the Pentagon has gone after a resurgent Taliban. But a key member of Congress is coming out against a new troop surge in the already ramped up military effort. Senate Armed Services Chairman Carl Levin will announce he opposes new combat troops for Afghanistan at a news conference Friday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi earlier said there's not a lot of support in Congress for a troop buildup.
Speaking of matters military, a disturbing trend continues for the Army. Here's the story on that.
Fighting on two fronts for 8 years now, members of the armed forces are under a lot of pressure, and that's reflected in a continuing problem with suicides in the Army. The latest report shows there were 11 potential suicides among active duty troops in August, and the July number was revised up to 12. So far this year, there have been 110 reported active duty Army suicides. The Army's been taking steps to address escalating suicide rates since early last year, trying to get rid of the stigma of seeking mental health counseling. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
Of course, if you have a commander-in-chief who sends you into a war with the statement that victory is not the goal, that might contribute to, shall we say, uncertainty. The South Carolina Republican congressman who shouted, "You lie," at the president has apologized, but some conservatives are pointing to a similar remark made by a prominent Democrat about former President Bush just a few years ago.
Congressman Joe Wilson said he did as told.
I heard from the leadership that they wanted me to contact the White House.
He says he's very grateful that the president's aides appreciated the call and that they issued a new call for civility. But conservatives have pointed out that in 2005, top Senate Democrat Harry Reid called then-President Bush a loser and a liar. For that, Reid faced criticism that spring, but for the most part, he held his ground.
I apologize for the loser. I haven't for the liar.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Yeah, of course. As long as it was a Democrat calling a Republican a liar, well, that was perfectly all right. With two flu viruses to worry about this fall, federal public health officials are urging an early vaccination.
With vaccine for the seasonal flu available now, officials say get that shot and then the swine flu shot when it's available next month. Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius laments that greater numbers of baby boomers aren't getting flu shots.
We should do better than the 38% of people 50 to 65-year-olds. Again, it's a great way to stay healthy.
It appears there'll be more swine flu vaccine. Australian vaccine maker CSL reported in the New England Journal of Medicine that just one dose of its vaccine, not two, protects adults. The journal also published data suggesting the vaccine by Novartis will do the same. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It sounds futuristic. Technologies on your car to help stop accidents, but these new systems are already showing up on vehicles, and now a new study underscores how important a safety feature they may be.
Let's say you're distracted. Many drivers are, and you fail to notice that car up ahead. How about a system that would warn you to put on your brakes? There are also technologies to warn drivers if they're drifting out of their lane or if there are cars in their blind spots, and headlights that help see around bends in the road. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says these technologies have the potential to prevent or reduce the severity of nearly one-third of all car crashes, including 10,000 fatal accidents a year. Lisa Stark, ABC News, Washington.
This item is so obvious. I can't imagine why really we would have any need to spend time on it, but I guess so, yeah. Because there are no limits to human stupidity. Ford says, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. They're the first automaker to publicly support a ban on texting while driving. The company even has a senior driver distraction researcher, Louis Tehina, who tells ABC News.
Text messaging raises the risk of a crash or near miss almost 23 times as compared to just driving.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Well, we have another little cutie pie this morning, and she brought a nice little dog with her, too. It's Dory from the SPCA. Tell us about this little guy.
Well, good morning. This is beautiful Dorothy with a face for radio, I believe, as you can see. Dorothy, we're gonna age her around 7 to be generous. She's a Chihuahua mix, and she came into San Francisco Animal Control as a stray, severely neglected, with bald when we got her from the animal shelter there. And so she's undergone quite a few soothing baths and TLC at the San Francisco SPCA, and she's now ready for
adoption. I may
drop
in myself.
Yeah. She, say she's a Chihuahua mix. I'm guessing part possum.
It could be. Hippo. You know, she's the sweetest thing, though. If I didn't already have a fat Chihuahua at home, I'd be taking this one home. So she's
I
got to
say,
really
I'm not
sweet.
A big fan of Chihuahuas. But so whatever got into the mix, I mean,
worked well.
It worked out. It was an improvement is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Well, she's a dog that will get you a lot of attention as you're out and about in San Francisco because, she's unique in that. And I think that will do well for her adopter.
Well, I think what you're suggesting is if you're a single person and you would like to meet someone out walking your dog, well, we might have a vehicle to facilitate that.
Absolutely. She can start as your first long-term relationship, and then who knows, she may need to lead to another one.
Yeah, could be. Well, she is cute. And
she grunts.
She's trained and housebroken and all that kind of stuff.
She loves other dogs. She loves cats.
Good.
She's good on a leash. She wants to just sit on your lap and shiver a little bit.
Ooh. Well, then.
I think that adds up to a lap dance, doesn't it, Ovi? Well, we got to find a home for her. She is a cutie.
Poor Dorothy. There's no place like home, and she wants one.
And where do we find her? We can contact her where?
She is. Well, you can see her on the KSFO website and also on the San Francisco SPCA website. Or please visit us at 250 Florida Street, and we're open 7 days a week. Stop by, say hi to Dorothy.
Phone number?
What time is opening hour today?
We open at 11, open till 6 today.
Okay, very good.
Good deal.
Very good.
Well, that just about handles it right there, don't you think?
I think so. We've got to find a home because she is adorable. And don't overlook the lap dance factor.
And they called it puppy love.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
The Huck is coming right up, followed at a respectful distance, of course, by Mr. Limbaugh. Meantime, some show business news. Fans who paid, get this, $745 for a ticket to the Michael Jackson tribute concert in Vienna, Austria, are upset about the lineup now that some of the biggest stars have pulled out. Mary J. Blige has another commitment. Chris Brown isn't coming. Maybe he's got to go out and beat up somebody. Natalie Cole is iffy. Speaking of Natalie Cole, by the way, a kidney transplant apparently hasn't hurt her voice. She sang at a concert in Los Angeles for the first time since her operation last May and got a standing O.
That's great.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show has been hit with a lawsuit by major recording companies claiming the show's producers violated copyrights by playing more than 1,000 songs without permission during Ellen's dance segment. Here's something a lot of people don't understand. Music is somebody's property, and if you use it, you have to pay for it. You would think producers of a TV show would know that, but apparently not all of them do. From the Parents Are Evil department, Nicole Richie and Joel Madden have named their son Sparrow.
Oh, no.
He's going to be in for a life of hell.
Oh, boy.
And here's heartbreaking news for a lot of horny males. Megan Fox says she will never do nudity in a movie, and you'll never find a sex tape of her on the internet, because she says she'd never videotape herself because she doesn't want to see what she looks like having sex. Of course, Megan, they're going to think of other people.
Yeah.
Birthdays so, today. This guy, who's also an actor.
It had to be you. It had to be you.
The song was written by a ram, wasn't it?
Harry Connick Jr. That's who that is.
That's right. Pride of Nolans.
50?
42.
Oh. Just rode hard and put away what?
Yeah. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.
Bye.
Monday. Monday, yes. We need some rest.